Today's daf is daf Nun Aleph, and last year we ended with the mission of the three gittin that are psulim, but if someone gets married based on such a get, the blood's okay. So it's a psul derabanan. Interestingly, though, it's not a psul, but sometimes we certain send rabbanim would say, Chachamim machmir, lakol mashem chachamim. We've discussed this in the past, so the blood is mamzer, like a Rabbi Meir, we've seen that shita. But these are the three cases. What were they? He wrote it with his own handwriting, and there aren't any witnesses. The other one is there were witnesses, but there was no zman. Final one that has man, but there's only one aid. Exactly how that works, we have to explain how that works as well. And I already hinted to it in that within the Korban last time, since I give you a little bit of a preview. But let's continue. So late kan safek girushin ela girushin mamash. Now, what's this referring to? So I'll just show you the Korban quickly. He says, I'm needing to parak gimel yavamot. This piece, this Gemara we're going to be learning now. Is we see pretty much most of the Amud is a sugya we saw in Masechta Yevamot anyway, so we'll sort of lean a bit on our learning that we did there. And what's that Mishnah there? It says datnan hatam v'kulam shayu lahim kiddushim or girushin besafek. Anytime you have a safek kiddushin, safek girushin, we say chotzov v'lo mityabon, chalitza and not ibon. Interestingly, though, it says keitzad. The case of safek kiddushin is what we've kind of seen already, where they get with their Kesef Kiddushin was thrown towards her, and it's a Safek Karovlo Karovla. Okay? That would be Safek Kiddushin, and if then he dies, we have to do Chalitza Misafek, but you can't do Yibum. Okay? Chalitza V'lo Mityamot, and Ketzad Safek Gerushin, and what does it say in the Mishnah? The three cases in the Mishnah. Ktav Bekav Yado, Ve'en Alav Eidim, Yesh Alav Eidim, Ve'en Alav Bozman, Yesh Bozman, Ve'en Alav Eded Echad. That's a Safek Gerushin. What the Gemara is saying now is it doesn't mean it's a Safek. In other words, v'ka'ama hanach safek girushin that namah isn't ainly krota. You can't really call it a safek. Why? Because demi deoraita it is get kasher. As we just said, she gets married based on the get, the children are kasher. They're not a mamzer. In other words, it's vada. It's midrabanan ne posel. So they could have nan hachav gimel gittim psulim vin misadav like kasher, as I just said. El mishum safek karavla. That's why they said the case of safek. Nonetheless. That this it happens to be in these situations we say as we said chuletz v'leom mityabemet, but it's not really a suffix because the reason why the implication is chuletz v'leom mityabemet is because midoraita it's good but midrabanan they're not happy with such gittim. Okay, that's how it relates to it. So it's clarifying the fact that really midoraita it is considered divorce, not a suffix in the same sense as suffix kiddushin was. As it says, keitzad suffix kiddushin, kainan nen taman, zara kiddushin, suffix karovla, zeu suffix kiddushin. So the Gemara now says, and it's actually interesting, the Pnei Moshe sort of asks, phrases this more as a question, vahacha, hu zarek la gita suffix karovlo, karo suffix, in other words, so to zarek la gita suffix karovlo, suffix karovla, zeu suffix kiddushin. Why didn't the Mishnah there have the, if you like, the real case of a Safek Girushin to complement the Kirushin case in back in the Masechta Yevamot, which would be a genuine Safek Girushin where you go throw the get and it's Safek Karovla Karovla. Okay? But it sounds like it's the Velo Mashni Hachaklum. It doesn't explain it here, to answer it here at all. Okay. That's a sort of Pnei Moshe goes on more detail, but that's enough for now. Now Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, B'shem Rav Chalafta, Taman. Sorry. Start again. Rav Yochanan says b'shem Rav Chalafa demin hava. We've got choach here, but it's girusin yevamot is hava. So to the korban changes, and that's a place. V'kulam im nesit, if they end up getting married, we say lo tetze shelo liza al baneha. Once again, if she gets married, based on such a get, we don't say okay, you've got to get divorced, because otherwise, if we say oh, you have to get divorced, being married on such a get, it will make it appear like it wasn't a good get. When really mikaradim midoraita it is, and people will say that the children she had from marriage number two are mamzerim. So that's why I say you don't force her to get divorced either. Now, these next cases, I want to share a sheet. We haven't done these sheets in a while. But also, we didn't do these particular sheets in a moment. We must have done it outside. But let me just share it with you now. Here we got the various cases. Let's have a look. Just move this aside so I can see what I'm doing. Okay, fine. The Gemara says, Bitoshin is set leshuk. I think the Tzaratala Aviyah. So what's the case? This is the man who's married to his niece, basically, his brother's daughter. Over here, that's the one marked in orange. Okay? He gives her one of these puzzle gets, one of these three gittim. Okay? Then what happens is he ends up, if you like, And then one second, then she ends up going marries somebody else based on that. And then the man, the brother, passes away. Okay? So what we're trying to say here is, do we force the daughter to get divorced from the second marriage? The answer is no, we don't. Why? Because if you did, it would make it appear like the divorce wasn't a good divorce. And therefore, the brother that passed away without having any children really has two wives. And one of those wives is an erva. And now, what do we say in that situation when one of the surviving wives of the man who passes away, having children, the erva? Not only obviously does the surviving brother not have to do yibum to his own daughter, but also the tzara's pater as well. Okay? Really, Mikra Din, what's the story? The real din is it was a good get, and by the time the brother passed away, he only had one wife. That's the real story. So can the surviving brother, meaning the father, the orange girl over here, can he do Yibum Mechalitza? Absolutely could do Yibum. He can, because again, at the time of death of the brother, there was only one wife that was alive, and the Erva was really divorced. However, if once again, just to make it clear, I'm not sure why I was so clear now, if once again we make this daughter divorce from the other man she just married, it'll appear like it wasn't a good divorce, and it will appear like the tzara is a tzara erva, and the father won't be able to do yibum or chalitza, wouldn't be able to yibum to this, well, have to do chalitza, but wouldn't be able to yibum to the tzara. So, in order to not ruin it for her father, we say you can stay with the second husband. Is that clear? Because again, if we made a divorce, it'll make it look like the tzara is the tzara at Erevah, and the father won't be able to do Yibum. Okay, that's point number one. Next case in the Gemara is tzara she niset l'shub begetzeh teitzeh. So just to explain, what about in this situation is, again, you have this a man over here who's married to his niece and another wife. Okay, what happened though is that he gave her the niece, as you can see here, this pasul get. Okay. Mikra din, now what's the din? Well, she's really divorced. Nachon? So therefore, the tzara is really requires yibum or chalitza, correct? Because at the time this man passed away, he only had one wife, which is the tzara. But the tzara, she thought, oh, it's a pasul get anyway. That means I'm a tzaret erva, and therefore I can go marry who I like. But Mi'ikar Adin, was it a good get? Yes, it was a get. Mi'ikar Adin, is she a tzaret erva? No. Therefore, she required yibum or chalitza. Therefore, we say teitzeh, she has to get divorced from this husband she married because she end up going getting married without yibum or chalitza. Okay? I can just read it inside if you want to see it inside. He says, it doesn't work. She thought she was a tzaret erva, and then she goes off and marries, goes to the market, and she requires it. This is an important piece here. We're not worried about the laws. She requires, and it's yavam that's gone off and gotten married without having yibum uchalitza. Okay, now the next piece you probably have a print in your Gemara as follows. Bat shiniset la'achiv, afilu la'vi lo teitzeh. However, the nusach, you can see why this probably happened, but in Yevamot actually says it as follows. Bito shiniset la'achiv, baget zeh teitzeh. Tzarata beniset la'achiv, baget zeh, afilu la'vi lo teitzeh. So you can see the baget zeh, because that's probably the reason why it sort of got line cut out, probably. But the commentator explains it actually in this sugya, like we have it printed, like you have it printed, but the Ozbarak fixed it to be like like it has in Yevamot, and we're going to explain that Korban explained it in Yevamot. So let's have a look at the picture. Next case. These are the two here. Bitoshi niset lachiv beget, where is it? Beget zeh, teitzeh. Okay, so what's the case? The case is as follows. Now there are, if you like, three brothers. The man, one of the brothers, one in the middle, you can see here that ended up dying, was married to his niece and another wife. What happened is that she ended up being divorced with this pasul get, and the brother then, say, passes away, and this girl in orange our protagonist in this story, goes and marries the other surviving brother. Now, why would she think she might be able to do that? Well, it was a puzzle get. So therefore she thought she maybe she requires Yibum. But Midoraita, was it a good get? Absolutely was a good get. And she's not allowed to marry her husband's brother. The only context in which the person can marry the mother, the husband's brother, is in the context of Yibum. So that's why I said Bito, as you can see here, she nisav lachiv beget teitzeh, she has to get divorced. However, then it says, what about that tzarata? Sharatza she nisav begetzeh afilu lavia lo teitzeh. So once again, with the tzara, okay, the tzara here, in the same situation, the niece was divorced with this so-called pasul get. Now, really, should she go ahead and do Yibum to the brother? No, we say, choletzeh v'lo mityabemet, okay? But if she nonetheless went, the father of this of the our niece, the pregnancy story, if you like, ends up doing Yibum to the tzara, midoraita, is it a good Yibum? Absolutely yes. Why? Because the get, when it was handed over, was an absolutely 100% valid get, midoraita, that is. And therefore, at the time when the brother passed away, he only had one wife with his tzara. And she wasn't considered tzara at erva midoraita. So therefore, when this lady's father ended up doing Yibum to the tzara, there's absolutely no problem whatsoever. That's why I say, lo afilu l'avia, even if she did Yibum to the father of this woman who received the pasul get, it would be it fine. Okay, hope that's clear from the pictures, and let's go back to the Gemara. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Tani, shoshah shtarot halalu, gova bahem mibnei chorin. All the three shtarot, even in the context of a financial document, for example, a malveh, they can collect from bnei chorin, but not nechasim meshubadim. Again, what is nechasim meshubadim? This is property that there's a lien on the property of the borrower from the time of the loan onwards. That if he sells it, then the lender can come and collect his debt from it. But if the contract was drawn up in such a way, like one of the three scenarios, he wouldn't be able to collect from nechasim meshubadim. So the Gemara asks, Amarav Bahada de Tema Bishalo Huchsak Shtar Biad Malve. In other words, this is only referring to the case where it hasn't been Huchsak in Beit Din, meaning the Shtar has been certified in Beit Din. Okay? It was Ktav Yad, etc., etc., meaning it was like Ktav Yad the Malve. Aval Huchsak Shtar Biad Malve, if however the contract in the hands of the Malve, meaning, for example, they went before Beit Din and the Lawver said, yes, this is my handwriting. Then we can say, then it's fine. It's got a call. It's been certified by Beit Din. Can collect mit nechasim meshubadim. Gemara says, one second. Now, I'm not sure what you have in front of you. There's a lot of Gersa changes. The Korban Eda fills it in, but it's all the bits and pieces. It's basically making the sugya align with what we learned in Yevamot. So you can see the Korban Eda, but the Oz Vadara I have in front of me sort of puts it all nicely in the text. Anyway, Rav Yossi Bayi, im b'shaluchzak b'shtar b'yad malveh, afilu b'nei chorin inu guva. If this contract that only has, for example, the Ktav Yad of the Lover hasn't been certified in Beit Din, meaning the Lover hasn't admitted that it's handwriting, this IOU, if you like, then even Bnei Chorin's not going to help you. You won't be able to collect from anything. I mean, it's just a piece of paper. It's not substantiated. It has no legal force whatsoever. So Gemara says, Ela kan nain kaimin b'shehuchzak shtar b'yad malvi. You're right. We're talking about it's certified. The Gemara says, V'lama einu goveh, if it's a certified document, then why isn't it, and the Ktav Yad has been certified in Beit Din, why can't you collect from Nechasim Meshubadim? So Rav Bizna says, Amar Mipnei Kenunya. There's two ways to understand, there's two shots now. Rav Bizna says that it's Mipnei Kenunya. We're concerned that because there are no Edim on the document, and it's just the handwriting, it's equivalent to not having any Zman on the document, if you like. There's no time. And, oh, now that's different. If we remember, the timing of the document is critical because that allows the malveh to collect nechasim meshubadim from property that was sold after the time of the loan. But if you don't know when the time of the loan is, you might be able to use that document to collect from property that was really sold prior to the loan, unfairly. So that's why we say you can't collect it because of this kanunya. Maybe they're scheming together. Maybe they manipulated the dates to collect in order to seize property that legally they're not allowed to. However, Rav Avinah says, Mipnei Shu Pasul. What's Mipnei Shu Pasul? I mean, it seems to be that it's the way the Reb Chaim explained Yevamot. He says, according to Yerushalmi, even though we saw that Zman is critical and without Zman in a document, it would be puzzle. We only saw that really in Gittin. It seems to be the Yerushalmi understands it across the board. That it's considered a parcel document, and therefore you can only collect for nechasim b'nei churin. So, hey, Tiv Rav Avin Ag Kedun B'shal. Okay, let's look now. The Gemara is testing the two different answers. Meaning, one answer was mipnei kenunya. The other one is because it's the document is considered pasul, and when it gets a takana chachamim. So hey, Tiv Rav Avin Ad Kudun, that makes sense. B'shalav hazaken v'shebera hazaken, lava hazaken v'shebera ben. Meaning the whole concept of the kanunya only makes sense is if we're dealing with the same person who did the loan is the same person who sold property. However, if the person who did the loan is different and the son now is the one that sold the property, the kanunya thing doesn't really make sense anymore in terms of seizing property. If you have a look at the Korbanot, says it a bit me a bichyesh lachosh bechach sheyase adam kanunya al beno elavadai mipnei psul eino gova. Meaning, it doesn't make sense to say by the beno that this guy's a kanunya, so therefore it makes more sense now to just say at korb psul. Now lo mipnei shu pasul. The Korbanot says you take that line out. It appears later on. You'll see in a minute. It says so. Heitiv Rav Avin also vatani ap begite nashim. It also says it's really implied by Gitei Nashim. The Reb Chaim explains that because in our Mishnah it says that Reb Eliezer says that with such a document, we'll see in the next Mishnah, he's cholek, that even without any ketav, even without any Eidim, if there's Eidim Mesira, which is critical, then you can collect from Nechsim Meshubadim, implies, according to Chacham, you can't collect from Nechsim Meshubadim. So that implies a get. Now the Gemara sort of scratches his heads. If you're manipulating a get, how's it going to help you financially? Say, collecting for Nechasim Bushubadim. When does a woman collect from Nechasim Bushubadim? It has nothing to do with the date on the get. All it has to do is with the date when they got married or the date in the Ketubah. So therefore, it's ridiculous to say the whole motivation of hustling this get is because it is a result of a kanunya, because there's no possible kanunya when it comes to getin. So therefore, lo mineshu pasul. So rather, it must be the reason why I can't collect for nechasim b'shubadim is because of the like going against the takana chachamim, doing being the chachamim pasul in such a way because he didn't include the zman. V'acham mineshu pasul. Okay, now Gemara says shlosha gitim psulim. So Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yana says v'kulam b'chtav yadayim. All the cases in our Mishnah, we're dealing with the husband wrote the get himself. Interesting. Let's go over the cases again. Gemara says, "Ktav deKtav Yadov ein alav edim." That makes sense. Yesh alav edim vein bozman. Well, Gemara is going to question why you need Davka, the husband, to have written it. And yesh bozman vein alav ed echad. Well, that's also he's saying it must have had the edim written on it as well. If you remember last year on the Mishnah, we said, "Why would I need both those cases to be ktav?" In other words, without edim or even with an ed echad, why need both cases? Because the that meaning even with. I'll just show you the Korbanada. It says, Reish Ashmino Dafilu Einbo Ed Klal. Even without any witnesses, then if she got married, it'd be fine. And the Seif is saying, even if it had one witness, it's still the Chachil, you should not get married, even you got Ketav Yadov and one witness. Okay, so the Gemara asks, anyway, Rav Shal, Eidim Yeshkan, Ketav Yadai Ma'ani Ani Tzarich. The second case is ridiculous to say we require ketav yad of the baal because you've got witnesses on the document. So Rav Yirmiyah says b'shem rather v'kulum ketav yadim chutz misha adavimo. Rather, it's really for case number one and case number three that really is the case where we say that it has to be ketav yado. Hav Rav Amnuna says no. Halalu chovayim al garmeim de'inu mishikiblu aleim l'shekel lechtom bechtev yad she'in bozman. He says even the second case we needs to be. The ketav yad of the baal to make sense of it. Why? Because even if it has edim, since the edim were agreed, if you like, to sign on a document that had no zman, it effectively puzzles them from this situation. Kilu ein kan edim, because they shouldn't have signed on a document without zman. So therefore, according to Rav Nuna, really all the cases in our Mishnah, the underlying principle of all of them is that it was ketav yad of the baal. That's what we're dealing with. The husband wrote the get. And there's either three possibilities wrong with it. Either there was no witnesses, there was one witness, or there was no zman. And if there's no zman, even if there are witnesses, it won't help you, right? Because the witness, if there's no zman, it effectively passes the witnesses. Now the Gemara says, Rabbar Hamnuna Rav Adabar Bar Acha says b'shem Rav, the Rebbe Meir. Our Mishnah must be Rebbe Meir. Okay, so Machaimit Memerken, why do you have to say that? Amar Amana begin to Amar Rav, we saw in the previous parak. Rav said the name of Rav, Kolhan Hahim Pirka, that previous parak was Rebbe Meir. Chutz Mishinav Shmo Bishna Shma. If you remember, those are the things we said the Pasul to get, and which the Tzem Mitzev Zu Mizu Vavlad Mamzer, if you remember. And that was, for example, they did it, the dating of Machot Shaina Hugenet, and we said that that's really Shita Rebbe Meir, because it goes Meshanav Mapmeash Tavu Chachamim. So Let me just go back a step. When it says Machamit Meimarken, the Gemara is saying, look, it's obvious that our Mishnah is Rebbe Meir. Why? Because in the next Mishnah begins that Rebbe Elazar is Cholek and says, Eidei Chatima Karti. So that's got to be Rebbe Eliezer, where our Mishnah is obviously Rebbe Meir, that's Eidei Chatima is the critical ones. And further, so in other words, the Gemara therefore says, is since the pre that we had a statement in the previous Perek, if you remember, that the previous Perek was all Shittat Rebbe Meir. And if you remember, the discussion was, well, what about this Perek as well? Or the next Perek as well, which is this Perek. And we said, oh, we're learning my Perek, you're learning your Perek. The statement of Rava is only for the previous Perek. So you might think that the Mishnah we learned is actually not Shittat Rebbe Meir then. Because the statement that the previous Perek was sounded like it was exclusive Shittat the previous Perek. So therefore, to Lord Sifra Meimer came at the Rebbe Meir. One second. Lord Sifra Meimer. In other words, you have to make, just so you don't think that because of that sort of klal and the discussion we had the previous perek regarding the authorship of the previous perek and that what didn't apply to this perek, you shouldn't, that you have to really assert that this Mishnah is also Shittat Rebbe Meir. Okay. Am Rabbi Yosef begin to Rav Shmuel train Am Halach Krebalazar. Now, the reason why I have to teach us at Remeir, that Amish Remeir is because it's Rav and Shmuel Cholek. They say, what's this referring to? Let's see the Korban Aida. It says, Am Rav Yossi. You've got the Rav Yossi, it's just before the next Mishnah, the last two remarks. He says, we would have thought to think. Rav Shmuel, they both say, Halachas like Rabbi Meir. So you would think Inu Moki Reisha that they all hold that the Reisha is actually Shita Rebbe Eliezer. To Kesavra the Af the Beinan, the Afagav the Beinan Eda Masira, though you still may have had a Havamina, that even though Rebbe Eliezer says you require Eda Masira, they're the critical ones. Edim there at the handing over the get are the critical ones that affect the divorce. Mikel Makom maybe Mode the Bidieved, Bidieved, like after the fact, the Eda Chatim is enough. Inami, maybe Rebbe Eliezer filu beide chatima machshir, maybe even also lads v'kolcha kebeide mesira. Lefichach tzachru lameima. That's why he had to say that actually Reish is Rebbe Meir he, and as we'll see, Rebbe Eliezer's Elazar says palig demina dafkeide mesira. In other words, again, because Rav and Shmuel says halachas like Rebbe Eliezer, you would think that therefore the stam mission at the beginning is also Rebbe Eliezer. Ah, the next mission that says Rabbi Lazar says, so I can't say Rebbe Eliezer, but Rabbi Lazar says, well, as long as you got mesira, it's sufficient. It might mean that either or both or whatever. So therefore, I have to tell us no, he dafka leads Eda Mesira and Eda Chatim is not sufficient because the first Mishnah is really exclusively Rebbe Meir. Okay, fine. Let's do the next Mishnah. This is Halacha Dalet. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Afal Pisha Ein Alav Edim Elishnat Nula Bifneina. Even there are witnesses at all, but it was handed in front of witnesses, then it's kasher. You can even govam in nechasim b'shubadim. You can even collect nechasim b'shubadim. Why? She'einim chotim alashtar elam ipnei tikun olam. Again, because all the only reason why we have signatures on the get itself, according to Rebbe Elazar, is because of Tikkun Olam. So in other words, the Korban says, that's in case the Edom Masira die, and the husband wants to, if you like, object. This is like the backup certification, but it's really the Edom Masira is the ones that affect the divorce. Now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar, Afal Pisha Ein Alav Edim. Rav Shmuel Trein Amir Halach Rabbi Lazar. They hold Halach as Rabbi Lazar, which is what we made reference to just before we started this Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua Yochanan says B'shem Rav Yanai, Divrei Chachamim Pasul. Divrei Chachamim Pasul sounds like that if a get doesn't have Ede Chatima, that it's a problematic, and Halach is not like Rabbi Lazar. So Gemara says Ata Uvda Kamei Rabbi Yochanan B'Kohenet. There's a Kohenet. If you remember, Rabbi Yanai said it was his pasul get. This is Rabbi Yanai in the previous daf we did together. This is he said I feel reach pasul angel that it's considered completely invalid. So I just hear Korbanes said to Kavas, I feel reach get angel. So it was a kohenet. If you like, she was divorced with a get that didn't have any edim, and Rabbi Yochanan wanted to then allow her to marry a coin. Why? Because we said it's a pasul get, en recha get, oh, so it's fine, go marry a coin. However, Baila Meivad Kada de Rabbi Yanai, Kad Shamar de Rav Shmuel Pligi, when he saw the Rav Shmuel Wacholek. Again, importantly, there were no Edim and wasn't Ketav Yad HaBaal either, so to make it clear. So Kachama, once he heard that Rav and Shmuel were cholek and hold halachas like Reb Elazar, that as long as you got a Mesira, then it works. Ata kamei afilu Israel afil shariminei. Then even if it was an Israel, he would shariminei. So let me just explain. The Korbanei says Hachi Pirusho Kachama the Rav Shmuel Amar halachik Reb Elazar. Ubat Israel, an Israelite came that got divorced, Nitgasha by Edom Asira, and was divorced by way of Edom Asira without any chetira and allowed her to get married. You see the halachas Reb Elazar. And therefore he was choshesh for that, for this Bat Kohen who was divorced with a get without any Edom, to say, actually, I don't think it's a pasul got an Ein Racha get bo. You're considered Grusha and you cannot marry a Kohen going down the track. Okay, let's continue. Reb Yoshua says, Reb Yehuda Levi says, Divra kol kasher, meaning according to everybody, it's kasher a get that only has Edei Mesira. The Gemara says, once again, ha amar Reb Elazar, Reb Elazar my kasher, Rabbanan pasul. Didn't we just say above that the Chachamim cholek? So the Gemara says, no, my beinehu, Reb Elazar amar kasher v'gova minechas b'rushim, Rabbanan amar pasul v'gova minechas b'shul badim, v'gova. In other words, the machloket is not regarding whether if you like, the kashrus bichlal, but rather whether it is you can go by nechasim or nechasim b'nechorim. That's a din. So that's what the Mai B'nehu is. So let me just read the Korban Eda. It says, V'achim b'chol Rabbi Shubban Levi parech da'amar l'divra kol kasher, Rabbi Yazeh, this is a machloket, so it says, Mai B'nehu kolomar ki plig Rabbi Lazar, Rabbanan el de Rabbi Yazeh m'shubadim, Rabban eino et gove el m'chorim. Aval shneyem modim de gaget kasher. But they both agree that get kasher, it's just what legal force it'll have. It's somewhat reduced in its powers according to Chachamim. However, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it is absolutely kosher 100%. Okay, sorry, a bit more over time today. I'm trying to go a little bit faster, but this next piece I think we've already seen. But let's continue. Shneim sheshilchu shnei. We saw this in the beginning of the Masechta, so it should go smooth. Let's say there are two people sent get to their wives, and the gets got mixed up. They happen to have the same names, etc. All you simply do is you give both gittim to one woman, take it back and give both gittim to the other, and in event, then it will, by way of just practicality, we'll say that one, they each at least were handed the get that was really theirs, because important in Gaspar and Lishma. If one gets lost, Hare sheni batel, then you're in trouble, okay? Because you don't know who's really getting divorced. So Gemara says, Shneim shchul shnei gittim. The Gemara says, Rav Elazar Rav Yosi bai kamei Rav Yosi. Kamad atam abeget echad pasul b'shtei nashim. Tifkata the tichavata v'hu shnei gittim pasulim ber. Change the girsa be'isha achad. So if you remember, we saw before that this is when we're going through the sugya of lishma to work out that a get has to be written for the right person. If you remember, one of the cases was where a man says, I want you to write a get for one of my two wives. Okay? That's get that was the case. Pasul. So that's a case that I don't know which one it's gonna be, or whichever one I choose. Okay? That wasn't considered direct enough. So two, why don't we say things same thing here? Pasulim. So in this situation, if I'm writing two gittim, let's say a man wants to divorce his wife. And he doesn't know if he wants in portrait or landscape. I don't know. And he tells the person, I'd like you to so if you write two gittin for me, and whichever one I will use, that will be the one I'll use. So once again, that's not considered direct and specific enough. In other words, it has to be this get is going to be used for divorce. Is that the same did? So Amar Lehi says, Kaini, that is indeed the case. The Gemara says, one second, Amar Lehi, Vahat Ninan, Shnaim Shishichu get Shnei Gittim Shavim. But once again, doesn't that sound like Amishna? Amish is a case we've got two gittin, they got mixed up. You don't know which is the right one. You're giving two to one of the women, and taking back and two to the other in divorce. Isn't kind of the same case of giving two gittin, like having two gittin? You don't know which is one, the real one, and giving it to the woman. So Gemara says no. Taman zekarut lishma vezekarut lishma. Our case in the Mishnah is different. Why? Because when the get was written, it was the only get written exclusively for one person. And same with the other get. It just happened to be Tarovadisha Garma. It just happens to be that Lamaaseh, when the Shliach got there, or he mixed the two gittim up, and he doesn't know who goes to who. But was the get written as an exclusive, specific get, as the only get to divorce this woman? Absolutely was. It's just a practicality. We don't know which is which. So there's nothing wrong with the get itself. It's just how I deliver it. That's my problem. So fine, not a problem. Hand both to one and both to the other, and that's it. That's and that's how the Mishnah solves it. But Amhacha, when it came to the case that we were deliberating just now, of a person told the sofer, write me two gittim, I'm not sure which one I'm going to use for my wife, then that situation, zeh lo karot lishma v'zeh karot lishma. In that situation, it's different. Or put it the other way, the difference is that wasn't, again, doesn't mamash specifically. So, aval kotev shnei gittim lishachad, lo nechtad achad mehem birirur l'shem gita. We don't know which one is really going to be the one to be used. Hilkach shneim psulim. Therefore, they're both pasul. So we'll just do a drop more to get to the Mishnah. The Gemara says, "Mikevach shenuli asul kamisha karulishma b'misha rishuna." So appreciate this Sefer Korbanet because this really relates to that sugi we learned at the beginning of the Masechta together. It was Daf Yud Bet, or just earlier on. And it says he explains the words. Ahad etanina b'perek gimel. Parich. The question is really on there. Am I pasul? In other words, why is in the case where he says, write a get from one of my two wives, I'm not sure which one it is, it got the same name, I'll decide at the time. Why is it pasul? Why can't you say, once you hand it over, it's now clear that the time of writing was that particular woman. And it's here it seems to be left as a question, but we saw when we left the sugya back there, that it was, I think we said it's the quantity that you can't rely on Braber in these situations. But it's kind of interesting that we have this extra line of more of a pointer to refer back to the previous sugya for more detail, more really. Okay, Beseder, we'll stop for Mr. Shem for the next Mishnah next year. Also, have a good day.